Hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on this wonderful Labor Day. Oh, wow, just an amazing day for us to be with family and friends and to really just appreciate solid, beautiful work that we can contribute into this world. It's just amazing. So we hope you're having fun with family and friends on this wonderful Labor Day, and you are in for a special treat, Take Two family. You get to listen to the one, the only Susan Tassone. That's right. And I'm going to be asking the questions, everything you wanted to know about purgatory, but were afraid to ask. So I'm going to jump right in because we have to make good use of this very quick hour we have on this Labor Day. It is a pre-recorded brand new broadcast put together by our wonderful producer, Michael McCall. Thank you so much, Michael, for doing this for us. So I want to bring Susan on air. And Susan Tassone is a passionate champion for the holy souls in purgatory. And she is a best-selling author, and she's a friend of Take Two's. Welcome back, Susan.
Yes, happy Labor Day, and thanks for having me. It's a good time to also kick off the fall for the souls, because this is their season. I call it tax season, Debbie, because it's so busy trying to help them.
That's so true. I love that. So, Susan, I've got a list of questions that I know that our listeners want answers to. And I just want to start at the very beginning for those, because we have brand new listeners, Susan, each and every time we do Take Two. And so we got to go super fast. So here's the first question for you. Why does purgatory exist?
That's a very good question. It exists. First of all, let me just say that it's a very positive part of our faith. It's not something that we should hide. And the people of our faith need to know that it's okay, and that all these books, that I'm up to 16 books that are published, allow people to have structure and purpose and focus. And they're all endorsed with imprimaturs and cardinal endorsements, bishop endorsements, to point out that this is a very positive part of our faith. And here's all the information you need. I think what John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and Pope Francis wanted us to renew this focus on the holy soul. So it exists because of God's love, Debbie. It's his mercy, and it's his unspeakable and incomprehensible holiness. You see, he's all pure, and he's all holy, Debbie. And sometimes people say, you know, though they went straight to heaven. Well, I'm not too sure about that. Yes, you can go straight to heaven. In fact, that's one of the questions. Can you avoid purgatory? Yes. But we have to understand his holiness. I think it's in Psalm 99. It says, the Lord our God is holy. And in my book, one of my books, Day by Day for the Holy Souls, a very, very popular book, there is a little story about Teresa of Avila when she was dying. And she was like in agitated, okay? She was weeping, and the nuns couldn't understand why she was so upset, because she was trembling as well. And they said, you know, they said to her, what's wrong with you? You know, you shouldn't fear death because of everything you've done and the penances and the bitter tears you shed for those, you know, that that were on the way to perdition, but you helped them. And she said that she didn't fear death. And then the nuns continued to ask her, well, do you fear your sins? And she said, no. And then they went on to ask her, well, do you fear hell? And she said, no. And then she said this. She said, oh, my sisters, it's the holiness of God. My God, have pity on me.
Wow. Susan, I can just tell by the way you speak with such passion about this, you really are fully invested in helping others understand purgatory and what it means for all of us, and really go into the deep theology of this. I love that about you. You are all in, aren't you?
Well, I guess I volunteered. I wasn't, it wasn't something that was part of my plan, Debbie. Believe me, I was actually... people don't know a whole lot about me, which is probably good, but I was a high school teacher, and I taught high school theology at a beautiful girls' school here in Chicago, which is now called Saint Scholastica. And so I've had the background, I'm going to say this, it didn't just, come naturally. I was busy teaching, and then I left teaching, and I I went into the corporate world because the nuns were putting a lot of notes in my mailbox about joining the order. And Debbie, I like Chanel lipstick, so I don't think I was gonna fit in. And so I left. And after that, you know, I felt like there was something missing. And so, what do you do? You just pray. I do the 54-day Rosary Novena to help me figure out what he wanted. And of course, he sent me to a wonderful organization that I worked for over 20 years, a social service agency that helped help the suffering and the sick. And so it was. And I'm going to say this, how did this happen? The story, how this all got to be, is in my book, Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls. People kept asking, why did you get involved? And it just turned out that, I don't know if you want me to share this, but I almost got killed. I was hit by a car in the middle of downtown Chicago on August 11th, 1984. It was the Feast of St. Clair, the patron of communications. It was the Feast of St. Susanna. And that cab hit me head on, and I fell on the hood, and it hit me again. And it was the second hit that threw me 50 feet, away from the cab. And I almost lost my life. And just to fast forward, little did I know, and this is in the book, little did I know, on that very day, Debbie, that very day, 50 years to the very day, I learned that I had a great aunt named Little Mary. And Little Mary was also injured by a car on that same day, 50 years to the day.
Wow.
She died and I survived. Well, when I saw the paperwork, I got chills. And I spoke to a good priest, a couple priests, and they said that sometimes a sacrifice is made in the family for a greater cause, and that she took the hit for me to be able to do what I'm doing. And
aww,
I was speechless. She was only 10 years old. She was pulling out one of the relatives from a car, and it was on fire, and she died of bodily burns at 10 years old.
Okay, yeah. I want to ask you more about this. This is fascinating. I never knew that about your life. I want to hear more about it, but you hear the music, Susan. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We're going to take this short break. More with our dear friend Susan Tassone, all about purgatory, you guys. Stay tuned in. Thank you so much for tuning in to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on this pre-recorded new content broadcast with our wonderful friend Susan Tassone. She is a best-selling author. She is an expert, in my opinion, on purgatory. She is amazing how she has written so many books, and she teaches us all about purgatory. I'm asking the questions on behalf of the Take Two family today on this Labor Day. And I just wanted to say to everyone, please, when we have these 3-day weekends and, we have Labor Day happening right now, it is a beautiful time to be in the moment and to really enjoy what we are celebrating with our family and friends, especially if you are gathering together, if you're on a little trip for the weekend or something of that nature. Just stay in the moment and really appreciate it. Because, Susan's talking about a car accident that happened in 1984 on August 11th. And, that could have been the day that the good Lord called her home. So we never know when the good Lord's going to call us home. So make this Labor Day very special with your family and friends. Okay, so Susan, back to the story. I never knew this about your life. So
nobody knows this, actually. Nobody knows that there is a background to this. I just didn't jump into purgatory. I think he enlisted me.
He enlisted you. Yeah. So wait a minute. So Little Mary, this is an aunt of yours, right? So she,
great aunt. She was 10 years old at the time.
Right. Okay. So a great aunt. So, and you were making the connection that sometimes God allows someone to be sacrificed so that there could be this greater outcome of someone else. And so you credit Little Mary, the great aunt, that she did not survive the accident. You survived an accident 50 years later. And that sounded, you were thrown quite a ways. That sounds
50 feet. I first I fell on the hood. And you know, Debbie, being Italian, my first reaction wasn't a flash of my life. It was, how could you do this? You know,
yeah.
You have a lot of nerve, you know. And then he hit me again. And that second hit threw me 50 feet. I went sliding down the, downtown loop, cars everywhere. And it was interesting. I was in shock, of course, and I had some serious injuries, at least I was able to walk. But it was interesting at that very point, I was already on the ground, and out of nowhere, I know this is all from God, a woman jumped out of the car, and the first thing she said was, Mother of God. And I broke down into tears, and she actually accompanied me to the emergency room, when the ambulance came. And so what happened after that, I had this, I had this leg injury that I sustained for 12 years. I couldn't fly. I had edema, damaged veins, but at least I could walk. Okay. I had two legs, and that's what I was happy about. We did go to court, and of course, we won the case. He was speeding. So that was that. So, and then after that, for 12 years, I was just, upset because I couldn't go anywhere. But you learn to live with it, okay? So I'm going to say this because it does have ecclesiastical approval now. But I heard about, I'm in the corporate world. I was out. I had left teaching, and I was doing quite well. And I heard about Medjugorje. It's from somebody in my office, actually, in the office that I was working at. And they said, "Hey, have you heard of it?" Yeah, I have heard of it. But so for some reason, I don't know what it was, Debbie. I just don't know. I went to the doctors. Oh, I know why. Because my mother planted in our hearts the seeds of devotion to Our Lady and the devotion to the rosary and the going to Mass. You know, we had, like Mother Angelica said, holy reminders everywhere. You know, we did play Mass with my brother, being the priest, and, we were pretending to be altar girls. And so all that was part of my upbringing. And so I always had a deep devotion to her, and I heard about this, but I knew I couldn't go, but I went anyway to the doctors. And this, the doctors here, I was at, a big time, hospital here, Northwestern, one of the biggest hospitals in Chicago, probably the biggest. And I just asked the doctor, because he had been taking care of me for that, at that point it was 12 years. And I said, I heard about this, and I'm just curious, what do you think? And I knew he would say no, and then I would be done with it. He wasn't Catholic. He was a very devout Lutheran doctor. And he said to me, I think you should go. I was shocked. And it was the height of the war, 1993, And so I just looked at him, and he says, I think you should go. And I couldn't even fly to Beloit, Wisconsin. And so he said, but, walk every hour, so your leg, you don't get any clots, and wear a certain kind of hose, and so I did all that, and I did go, okay, and it was profound, and I, now that there's ecclesiastical approval of the messages, and that parishes can go, priests can take, parishioners go if you can go, if you're called to go, if you feel the so I went, and I noticed something when I climbed the mountain. I don't know what it was. I couldn't describe it, but I just felt lighter. That's all I could say. I came home, and I had visible damage. I had a big, big lump in my leg because it was filled with edema, and the veins were broken. And so it was there for 12 years. And I came home, and it was gone. The whole, I had just seen the doctor. He had looked at it. It's always painful. And it was gone. And I didn't go for a miracle. I didn't ask for it. I was just going because I had a relationship with Our Lady. And I went back to the hospital, and I said, I got to see you. And he said, did you climb that mountain? Well, he told me not to climb the mountain, but I did anyway. And of course, my legs swelled up. But then when I got home, the visible damage that I had sustained for 12 years was completely gone. And he was stunned because he could feel the bone, it was wow, below my knee, right in a bad spot where you don't want to be hit. Mm-hmm. And he took tests, and I said, well, can I fly? And he said, let's take some tests. The tests were all normal. And he said, you can fly. And where did I go? I went to Lourdes. I went to Fatima. I went to the Holy Land. I went to all her places. And then when I got home, you know, I was having a great time and my leg was healed. He waited, though, 3 years. 3 years, Debbie, before he would put something in writing. And then at the third year, I said, hey, I'd like to go back. He gave me the letter. I brought it back. And so I'm in the archives of healings, you know, the registered healings in Medjugorje. And they interviewed me in Medjugorje. And from that point, where did purgatory come in? Well, somebody gave me a book. In fact, Debbie, he just died, August 14th. Thomas A. Nelson was the publisher of Tan Publishing Books.
Mm-hmm.
He just died at 88 years old on the 14th, the 16th of August. It was day after her feast day. This past week. And it was his book that I would read, you know. I just loved, you know, I have a degree in theology, so I just loved to read all that kind of stuff. And I read something about purgatory, and I was just floored by who they were and what did they suffer and why does it exist. And I just decided to take up a collection to have masses, because that's what they need the most. They need the body and blood of Jesus. And so I went to my office and took up a collection. I could have gotten fired, you know, but, you know, you come back from Medjugorje and you're like, you got to do something.
Right.
And I took the mass stipends and I brought them to the priest. And he said, well, we can't take them because we don't have enough priests to offer them. And mm-hmm. he directed me to the missions office. Every diocese in the United States has a missions office. The proper name of the long name is called the Propagation of the Faith. And, mm-hmm. and you know, short is missions office. You help our Catholic missionaries all over the world with our mass stipends and with, you know, with donations. And so that's where he sent me with the money. And I went over there and I handed it to the nun, and she was shocked because Cardinal George said to her the week before they would get requests from missionaries and bishops all over the world. You have mass stipends. And he said, find a way to raise more money. And I walk in and hand her this. And from that point on, I just, you know, whenever I could, I started going out speaking about the missions and purgatory from reading this little book called Read Me or Rue It. I don't even know if it still exists. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started. And that was, 26 years ago?
Wow.
Till this day. It hasn't stopped. Of course, I end up working for Cardinal George. I end up being his development director for the missions. And he was so good to me. He did the forwards to my books. I got to meet and work with all the cardinals, you know, because they contacted us to help them because their priests don't have mass stipends. And what does that mass stipend do? It buys bread and wine for the Eucharist. It buys books for seminarians. And what do you get when you get, you know, when you have a seminarian, when you buy books for seminarians, you get a priest for 40 years.
That's true.
Where your donations go. So we have Mission Sunday coming up in October. That's what that's all about. And mm-hmm. we get these guest speakers that talk about give to the missions. These guys, these nuns are powerhouses, and they're our heroes, and I just have a great love for them. So that's what I did. And if you want to know the story, go to Praying with the Saints, and it's all there.
Susan,
but
we didn't mention
Medjugorje at the time because it hadn't been approved, but now, you know, it's got ecclesiastical approval, so I can say it now. Yeah, I wouldn't talk about it because of that, but now I can speak about it. I wasn't planning on telling you about this, but
I'm glad you did. Our guest today is Susan Tassone, and we're talking all about purgatory and her journey. Wow, what an extraordinary life you have lived and your ministry work. This is amazing. But Susan, I know you have more work planned for all of us. I love that because you're not stopping. You can tell you are just rolling with this.
We got more to come. I can't tell you now, but we got a couple big projects coming down the road. You'll find me on EW10 probably in another year, but back to why it exists, okay? I don't want us to lose our focus here. It exists because of his love and because of his holiness, you know, and it's God's love that cleanses and purifies us to be able to stand before his presence, because he's all pure and he's all holy, as Avila said, my God, his holiness. But because of our sin, Debbie, and because of our selfishness, we need to be purified. If you notice, they don't say punish. It's a purification. It's a healing. It's a loving purgatory. It's not a purgatory punishment. And it can only be called punishment, Debbie, in the sense that purgatory will be spiritually and psychologically demanding, as any virtue is. I think too strong an emphasis on purgatory as punishment is the wrong way to look at it, because God is not trying to get even with people, nor is it the way, nor is it a way of like lowering the boom. You know, God doesn't say, you failed me completely or enough, I'm through with you. Rather, he comes to help us complete the work we've left undone, because we're not here. We're here for a mission, and we were born for a mission. We're even lucky to be born, to be chosen to be alive and to be with him. Mm-hmm. So he comes to help us complete this mission, to complete the work we left undone. And he's preparing his unprepared children for the joys of heaven. So, as I said, we're charged with the mission. We're charged by the gospel to prepare for heaven while alive. And he extends grace after grace after grace to prepare us for heaven countless times.
Right. Well, Susan, that's why I said you have more work for us, because we need a lot of training in this area of the holy souls in purgatory. And I want you to kind of put these next three questions together on what we can do. Okay, what can we do to help these poor and holy souls in purgatory? And why are they called poor and holy souls? And how do they and do they suffer? And what do they need from us? And what important act can we do? All these things, Susan, because we have a work to do here as the church militant, and it's very important that we take it seriously. And that's why we need you, Susan Tassone, out there, you know, teaching us about this and reminding us how important it is. So I want you now, you're only going to have a couple minutes, and we're going to hit the last break, and we can continue. But start on that of what they need from us.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just say this. I need you. You know, I need you to help me to help them, because part of our, part of our mission is to pray for the church. You know, we're the church militant, and our job is to reach down and help the church suffering. And so, first of all, who are they? You know, who are the souls? Are they some third party? No, they're people that shared our joys and our sorrows. They're our mothers, our fathers, children, grandparents, aunts and uncles. Those that took a special interest in us, our friends, our teachers, our religious, all those people that have been entwined in the fabric of our lives, what do they suffer? We'll go through all these. What do they suffer? The primary pain, Debbie, is the loss of the sight of God. Because once the soul sees God in all its glory and God's lovableness, the eyes of the soul can't close without being in utter agony. And it cries out, God, God, I must be with God. Because it's God's burning love, and it's their longing for God, because they saw God, and they saw how good he is, and they saw the love he had and he has for us. They saw the plan he had, and I kind of hearken it to, you know, Elvis Presley, hunka hunka, burning love. And so once they see God, they burn for this love of God, and they have an unquenchable thirst for God. They have an unspeakable yearning for him. So their hunger, their thirst, their famine, their drought is for God. And it's like a heart sickness. And that's the prayer of purgatory. And they willingly suffer. There's no rebellion in purgatory. Their attitude is one of penance, of humility, and resignation to God's will. You want to know how to avoid purgatory? Do the will of God in all things. So there's no rebellion. Why are they called poor and holy? They're called poor because they lost the sight of God. They're called poor because they don't know when they'll be released. They're called poor because they no longer merit, because once the soul leaves the body, the time of merit ceases. So you're either going to be paying a debt in purgatory, or be in heaven,
Susan,
or God's
still. Susan, hold it right there. We're gonna get clipped right there. Let me stop you right there. Pick up where you left off, because we have this short break. When we come back, more with Susan Tassone on purgatory. Guys, you gotta stay tuned. Oh, we are so glad the Take Two family tuned in today. This is amazing. We are learning all about purgatory and what we can do as the church militant to help these souls get to heaven. So this is exciting. We've got, I believe she is an expert best-selling author and a passionate champion for the holy souls in purgatory. Susan Tassone is with us. She's visited us before on Take Two, but she's back for this Labor Day special broadcast, and we're so excited. So Susan, rewind just a little bit about why they're called poor, and keep going and tell us why they're poor and holy.
They're called poor because they lost the sight of God. They're called poor because they don't know when they'll be released. They're called poor because they can no longer marry, because once the soul leaves the body, the time of marriage ceases. So you're either paying a debt in purgatory, or you're in heaven, or God forbid, you're in hell. They're called holy because they can no longer sin. Okay, and they're called holy. I think that was it. They can no longer sin. So that's why they're called holy, because they can no longer sin. And one thing they do know, one thing they all know, is that they're saved. They are saved. So it's just a matter of time. And what happens is we become their deliverers. You know, heaven encourages them and we deliver them. So we've been given the great duty and power and privilege to release them as the church militant. So God, in a sense, Debbie, ties his hands. He allows the soul no more penance, no more meriting, and he puts in our hands the means to assist them. So we need to learn from purgatory. We need to avoid purgatory. And most of all, we need to empty purgatory. And so what's the most important act we can do for them? Masses. Offer the Mass for them. It's the highest form of worship. It's the highest act of prayer. And alongside the Mass, so offer Masses or attend Mass. I wonder how many people go to Mass and not say, to themselves, this Mass is for this person or for yourself or for a soul in purgatory. Do you go to Mass with an intention? Who are you offering your Mass for? Who are you offering your indulgence for? Who are you offering your Holy Communion for? That's what they need, is the Mass. Alongside the Mass, they need the Rosary. Why? Because the Rosary is indulgence. And they need indulgences. And this is the Jubilee year, Debbie. I think we were on the show. I'm pretty sure we talked about we get a special indulgence this year. And I did 14 radio shows during the winter to talk about this special indulgence. So churches are designated as a Jubilee church, which means you can go to that I'll just use myself. Holy Name Cathedral is a Jubilee church. I was there this morning. I offered my Mass and Communion, of course, for the souls in purgatory, and I did the prayers for the Pope, Apostles' Creed, Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. I went to confession within, 20 days, and I can gain the indulgence for them or for myself. But guess what the Church is giving us? Pope Francis left us. He said, during the Jubilee year, if you go back to Mass a second time, you can gain a second indulgence, which is unprecedented, strictly for the souls in purgatory. So what I do is I'll go back to Mass again. If there's a 5:15 Mass, if there's not one at the Holy Name, I'll find another church. But I've been doing this all summer long, where I go to a Jubilee church. You have to go to a Jubilee church first, and then your second Mass could be at a Jubilee church. And sometimes for me, there are no more Masses. So I hop on the bus and I go downtown to St. Peter's and I do a second Mass. And that is given directly to the souls in purgatory. And you can only do this during the Jubilee year. You can only normally gain one indulgence, but because of Pope Francis, we're allowed to go back to Mass, receive communion, and offer it strictly for the souls in purgatory.
Okay, Susan, hold on. We got to take this slowly, because I'm just going to get overloaded with messages coming in saying, what did Susan say on how to do it? Okay, so during this Jubilee year, the requirement is we go to a church that is a designated Jubilee church. Is that it?
Correct.
The holy doors. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's a designated Jubilee church, yes.
Okay, so you go to Mass on a Sunday, and you can go again.
Or any day of week. Doesn't have to just be Sunday.
Okay, and you can receive twice.
Yes, you can receive twice.
Okay, so you go again, and that second Mass is for the intention for the holy souls in purgatory. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Just for them.
How many times can you do this during the Jubilee year?
You could do it every single day. I try to do them, I think I've done about 25 of them where I just run, it takes a lot of effort, you go to Mass and then I have to wait because of COVID. We had less Masses, so I can't do it right at the same church. I jump on a bus, go to another church in the loop and get the second Mass in for the souls in purgatory. And I can say this, Debbie, every single time I've done it, and I've lost track. I don't keep track anymore. Something happens incredible. their presence is so powerful. They let me know. It happened. So expect that from them. I did it for my family members.
Yeah, Susan, why aren't we hearing this? I mean, this is the first I've heard of this, and I'm in Catholic media.
That's why I did 14 radio shows, Deb. I thought we did a show on the Jubilee Indulgence. I made sure I try to get everybody I can. But we've got the indulgence until, don't quote me, it's either right before Christmas Eve. It goes until, you got to look it up. Go to your church diocesan, webpage and find out what churches are designated as Jubilee churches, because the most important thing is you have to be sure you go to at least one Jubilee church, okay? Mm-hmm. And if they don't have another Mass near, within a couple hours or the next hour or whatever, find a second one, which I do, and I go get the second one for the souls. And you're able to do that. And when you do that, you gain fresh intercessors. And that's in the catechism. The more you do that, Debbie, I'm proof. Number 958 in the catechism, the more you pray for them, you increase their intercessory power.
So they can pray for us, is what you're saying.
They can always, that's one thing they can do in purgatory and outside of purgatory. In purgatory, they can do one thing. They can intercede for us. They cannot pray for themselves, but they can intercede for us. And then when they're out of purgatory, the first thing they do is prostrate before the throne of God and pray for us unceasingly all the days of our life. And they become like your second guardian angel. Debbie, they're extraordinarily powerful. Read day by day with the Holy Souls, the saints, the power of the souls. I couldn't live without them. And of course, who's part of them? Well, who knows? They're just a cadre of they're just this big, the military of souls working for us inside purgatory and outside purgatory. Mm-hmm. And the guardian angels tell them, who is his praying for them? The guardian angels do a lot more than provide transportation, to heaven in purgatory. The guardian angels are very busy. They console the holy souls. They inspire them. And they inspire us. The angels inspire us and the relatives to offer a mass or practice a good deed for their speedy delivery. And I'm sure you've got listeners that are saying, you get these things that you see a name or something happens and it's a relative. That's not an accident. That's them trying to get your attention. They mm-hmm. also inform the souls who are assisting them and to pray for them. They escort the soul to heaven as well with the speed of lightning. So you should have a great devotion to your guardian angel. You should ask their help to purify yourself. Their charge is one charge, to get you home. And they're going to obtain every single grace and favor from God for your eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. And the saints confirm all this.
Yeah. Susan, what's your take on the guardian angels? Do they visit the souls in purgatory? Do they stay with particular
soul?
Yes,
they stay with them. In fact, the only time the guardian angel departs a soul
if they're damned to hell.
Yeah. And then it departs. I wonder if we commit a mortal sin if it departs. I've heard that, but they're always with you. They're always, they're there to console you, to inspire you, and to help inform us.
They actually stay in purgatory. I've heard various theologians say they visit purgatory. They don't necessarily stay right beside when the person's in purgatory. So your understanding and study is that they actually stay with that particular soul?
They say. Now, we're kind of splitting hairs. Do they take a break and go somewhere to inspire somebody? I don't know. I don't get into that. I know they're there, and they do console the souls. Okay, and Our Lady visits every Saturday. Michael, St. Michael, comes with her and helps release souls. She released souls on her first Saturday. She released souls on the Assumption. It was what Peter Damian said, that when she assumed into heaven, that mm-hmm. she emptied purgatory, took all the souls with her.
So she comes on every first Saturday or every Saturday?
I would probably first say every Saturday, but on first Saturday, she anyone that had a devotion to her and did the first Saturdays, she releases them that first Saturday after their death. So if you die on a Wednesday, Debbie, and you had a devotion, you did her first Saturdays, you were devoted to her, you did a rosary, you lived her virtues, which is humility and purity. She comes at Saturday to take you home.
That's amazing.
She's so powerful.
What about the brown scapular, Susan?
You know, a friend of mine calls it fire insurance. She promises that anybody that wears that and lives, you know, it's not a good luck charm. She gave that to St. Simon Stock and said she would protect you and she would give us the graces of, you know, of a happy death. But you have to live, you know, live out her virtues and go to confession once a month, once a month. We're called to go to confession once a month, receive communion as much as you can. If you can't get to Mass, you got EWTN. You've got adoration on EWTN. You've got the Mass, the daily Mass on EWTN. You got novenas on EWTN. You got litanies. You got your whole, you have your own shrine, really. Many of my friends do adoration if they can't get to adoration directly. But back to the Masses.
Yeah, but hold on one second, Susan. I have to tell you, I'm sure right now that our Take Two family is so happy they are tuned to this channel and listening on this Labor Day to you, because this is a game changer. Okay, and what you're sharing with all of us today, this is amazing. We're going to take on a whole different work now in working to help these souls get to heaven. And so this is huge, because a lot of people say, what is my purpose? You know, what can I do here? I've raised my family. I've done everything. I'm getting older. What else can I do?
Well, that's what Benedict says. Benedict constantly, you know what he says? There was he was here visiting the bishops and even John Paul. Bottom line, he said, teach the people to pray. Teach the people to pray. Your job is to pray. Your job is to pray for your family. I've enrolled my family in the Guardian Angel Society. I did chaplets for every single one of them. I do the first Saturdays because I know, and I come from a big Italian family, I know they're not doing this. So, you know, you got to pray big, too. I told Our Lady, look, I'm doing these first Saturdays for your intentions, obviously, but give the grace of a happy death, which is to die in the state of grace and to get the sacraments of if you need them, or whatever you need at the hour of your death to grant that to them. And so that's what I do. I go give these first Saturdays and first Fridays to them. And because I don't need to leave a legacy of money. I need to leave a legacy of prayer that they're covered in prayer after I'm gone, that they're going to have this grace at the hour of their death. So all my first Saturdays, all my first Fridays, in fact, we should keep doing them, because Father Apostoli said not to stop doing the first Saturdays because it speeds up the era of peace. So don't stop doing them. But you're getting the grace of a happy death. And I said, please apply this to all my family members. And I said, past, present, future, until the end of time. So that's, she wants us to pray big. She wants us to ask big. So does Jesus. But back to the Masses, have Masses offered for yourself while you're alive. Again, in praying with the saints, I talk about this theologian that wrote about why it's more powerful while you're alive. He wrote a whole letter. We just published the whole thing that he gave us. So have Masses for yourself. Go to Mass. Attend Mass. There's enrollments. There's the Miraculous Medal Association. There's the Marians. Enroll your family. I love the Guardian Angels. You know why? It's the Guardian Angels Society. Debbie, what they do is they want your whole family tree. Mm-hmm. So your whole family tree gets included in all these prayers forever. And that's what I did. And it's very inexpensive, but how often do you find an organization that says, give us your family tree, and we will, And so when I call them up, I go, can I give you my family tree and all future little branches?
And this is the Guardian Angel Society?
Yes. Okay. The Guardian Angel. I just love it because they encompass all the relatives. Now, Gregorian Masses, and this is what I'm going to say until I die, put them in your will. Gregorian Masses.
After your last time that you were on Take Two, I put it in my will. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Yes, put them in your will. There are 30 Masses in a row for one deceased soul. They were popularized by Pope St. Gregory. Justice, one of the monks, had died, and he ordered 30 Masses. Why didn't he order 31? What was so magic about 30? Well, it's because in the Old Testament, Moses and Aaron and Jacob, they mourn their dead for 30 days, and that's where we get that custom and that tradition. And in fact, when Pope Francis died, you saw the black bunting in front of, grapes and in front of all the churches. They do that for 30 days. That comes from the Old Testament. So put them in your will. Now, I'm going to throw something in new here. So what I found was there's an organization called the Catholic Near East Welfare Association, CNEWA, Gregorian.org. And they accept prepaid Gregorian masses. They're called, it's a great title for a book, Debbie. They're called In Suspense. I love that title. And you can prepay them. I don't recommend, I never recommend it, because sometimes the organizations, they don't exist or they close for some reason. But this one will not, because it's a pontifical agency. Pontifical agencies report to Rome, and so they're not going away. So I did prepay Gregorians right online, and they sent me back like IBM cards, and they're all written. I did 12 sets. I'm like, I'm not going to mess around, you know. Wow. And so I've got them in my will. I decided, why just put them in your will and say have them arranged? Since I found this organization through one of my good nun friends, I had them prepaid.
Can you give the website again?
C is CNEWA.org. And there's Gregorian masses. You could have their Gregorian masses. But what's special about them is you can get prepaid Gregorian masses. So I eliminated the executor having to write the check, finding out, blah, blah, blah. And I already locked it already in. I locked it all in. And you know, after I'm gone, he just has to mail it in. I even got the envelope. And if I could put stamps on them, I would. Because I said to him, the first thing you do is you mail this. Because we canonize everybody. We canonize priests and religious. We canonize our family members. We hear, oh, they went straight to heaven. Well, we don't know that. We're not God. And we can't come out and say that their will was perfectly lined up with God's will. But so let's just say this, Debbie, let's say they are in heaven. And so what happens to those prayers? Well, a lot of people have this common response. Well, it goes to somebody else. No, it's much bigger than that. St. Thomas Aquinas calls it accidental glory. Mm-hmm. Accidental glory is when a soul is, you're praying for a soul and it's already in heaven. That soul gets two things. It gets an increase in its intimacy with God, and it gets an increase in its intercessory power. So the lesson is that you never stop praying for your dead.
That's right. Oh, I love that about these, how you can still advance in the glory stages in the beatific vision.
Yes.
I know it's brilliant. I know we don't teach enough on it, Susan. I'm so glad you mentioned it. Okay, I want to switch gears just for the last few minutes we have. That's how fast this hour goes. And I'm so glad our listeners stayed tuned in the entire hour. I hope you got a lot out of it. If you did, after this broadcast, share it with a friend, please, or a couple friends. Okay, before we go back with our final few minutes with Susan Tassone, I'm going to be asking her about the souls that need the prayers the most, and also about how do we teach our children and our young adults about purgatory, because so many are rejecting that concept and it's not good. So real quickly, let me share with our listeners Mother Angelica Live Classics. It's Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN TV and radio. EWTN foundress Mother Angelica shares her timeless wit and wisdom. Okay, Susan, talk about the most abandoned souls, those that need the most prayers, and how do we teach our children?
Yes, teach our children. First, real quick, the most abandoned souls are the two groups, the priests, the consecrated religious, and non-believers, because we canonize immediately everyone after their death, and we leave off too soon praying for our parents, our friends, our relatives. You know, we esteem the holiness in their lives, but only God knows the state of their soul at the hour of their death. And so, as I said, and what if they are in heaven? Well, when you continue to pray for them, they get the accidental glory. They get an increase in their intercessory power, which is in the Catechism, number 958, and an increase in their intimacy with God. So those are the groups that are most abandoned. And of course, people that are Catholic and just totally dismiss purgatory. It's a doctrine of our faith. It never went away. How do we teach the children about purgatory? Form kind and merciful hearts. Parents need to plant the seeds of God in prayer in those young hearts. And in due time, it's going to manifest itself, and you're going to be assured of their prayers. Because if we don't teach them how to pray and we don't plant these seeds, they're going to depart into godlessness. So you teach them about All Souls Day. You take them to the cemetery. You sprinkle the graves with holy water. You teach them to go without something, you know, a little sacrifice. In fact, we published a children's book on purgatory that won 5 awards from the Catholic Media Association. EW10 calls it the masterpiece. New Friends Now and Forever, a story about the Holy Souls, to teach the children. And the reviews were staggering. And in fact, the parents are telling me that they're learning about purgatory as well, because I put a special letter in there about the truths of purgatory to help them understand purgatory if the children have any questions. But after they read the book, they don't have any questions. But it's breathtaking. As I said, it won 5 awards. That's the most for one book, in a year. So, and if we talk about it on EWTN, you can go to, it was 2023 when it came out, but it's breathtaking. It's probably one of the greatest things I've ever done. And it took me 3 years to do, but we were able to reach the children. That was one market that I hadn't reached, were the children. So we now reach the children for ages 6 to 10. And it's coming up, you know, schools have the book. Archbishop Vigneron in Detroit ordered 3,000 for every school and every parish. So I can have them, well, let's just say this, go to EWTN. They have them available, and it's a breathtaking book.
At EWTNRC.com.
Yes. They have a special edition versus what's online. There is a soft cover, but children like hardcover. We learned that too. So
absolutely.
Did we cover all those questions?
We did. We put them all together. Boy, oh boy, Susan, you know how to go lightning fast. I love that. But Susan, a couple things. I want our listeners to also check out your website. There's the most precious picture of Susan with John Paul II. You've got to see this, you guys. Go to SusanTassoni.com. Okay. And it's a beautiful picture. Your website's beautiful, Susan. I love it. But we only have a couple minutes. So here's what I need you to do. Tell me about your take on limbo, Susan.
Oh, you're asking me something that you better ask Father Mitch.
Okay. So do you get asked that a lot? Because
No, you're the first.
Really? Okay. Because it's coming up a lot lately in Catholic radio shows, and I'm just curious. Okay,
I would say my good buddy, when I get stuck on something, all I do is call Father Mitch. He's a walking encyclopedia.
I will do that. Absolutely. But Susan, you have been amazing. I have never seen anybody so incredibly passionate with that sense of urgency like you have. You are really committed to this, and you want us to get on board. And it's been such a blessing to you. I love how you love to share it. You're just incredible. I believe your ministry is so anointed. And Susan, you got much more stuff to do for us. I know you do, because I can hear it in your voice. There's so much more you want to impart to us.
Coming, and we're in the process of literally. I'm juggling 2 big projects, and but we're working on them. So there'll be more. Hopefully, I don't know how long this is going to last. But just remember, I love what Benedict said. Each of us is a result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved, and each of us is necessary. We're given a mission, and if you don't fulfill that mission, I think it was Henry Newman, who's now becoming a doctor, he said that will be, how did he put it? It will be empty. It'll be a hole. It will never be filled. If you don't fulfill your mission, it will never be filled in the history of the world.
Wow.
So how do you know your mission? Whatever you're called to do, through prayer, everything I read. Debbie, everything I read, it's all about prayer. No apostolic action without prayer. The rosary, the mass, adoration, that's what I do. And if you don't, I can tell the difference. Everything mm-hmm. starts to unravel. But you have to have a strong prayer legend. And God wants us to communicate with Him. Right. Our Lady does. So we don't have to go there. But yes. Well, have a strong prayer life.
Susan, I cannot thank you enough for being with us on this wonderful Labor Day broadcast here on Take Two. It's a pre-recorded but new content. So you listen today. Now share it with tons of your friends. This is important work we can do through prayer. Susan Tassoni can be found at SusanTassoni.com. Pick up her products at EWTNRC.com. And guys, this was just an amazing quick episode of Take to on this Labor Day, and we just wish for all of you just a beautiful day with family and friends. And we're going to be live tomorrow, so just know that. And I want to thank Michael McCall, our producer, for putting together this wonderful broadcast. And we hope we can't wait to see you tomorrow live again. It's been a couple of days, and we always miss the Take Two family. So have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.